The following is an evening slideshow presented by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 2nd, 1984 in Atlanta, Georgia.
Of course, Srila Prabhupada's principal pastime is giving Krishna to the world. And he did this, of course. Achari apani, apani achari, bhakti sikhaimu savare. Prabhupada used to quote that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his own example, taught, and then he also gave a verbal instruction. So, of course, we have those two aspects of Srila Prabhupada's glory, his example and his philosophical teaching. So, I thought I would say a little bit about his teaching and his books, his pastimes of writing books. Which is something I have to always think about. So, Srila Prabhupada, in his, not only in his books, but also in his writing, also in his practical activities, illustrated a degree of dependence upon Krishna and faith in Krishna, which was practically not to be seen anywhere else in the world. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, the great soul, after many, many births and deaths, understands that Krishna is everything. In his commentaries in the 11th canto, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur again and again emphasizes the point that there are different stages of advancement and devotion to Krishna. And in a lower stage, one considers service to Krishna to be the most important thing. And in a higher stage, one considers devotion to Krishna to be everything. So, this stage of devotion of understanding how service to Krishna is everything, not only the something, and not even the most important thing, but actually everything. Obedience to the order of Krishna, Krishna's representative, and very boldly presenting Krishna as the absolute truth, crossing over all the barriers, which basically are simply the mental concoctions of Maya. It was Srila Prabhupada who, in his style of preaching and the forcefulness, the intensity of his preaching, actually demonstrated to us how to transcend or liberated Krishna consciousness beyond any mental consideration. At the same time, he was very diplomatic, very expert in understanding things according to time and place. So that can be illustrated in his books, in his famous Bhaktivedanta purports, in which he's always insisting that Krishna is the absolute truth. And of course, Krishna is the absolute truth. And people always used to say, well, that's your opinion, and Prabhupada would always answer very strongly, no, it is a fact. So that's just one little thing I'll mention this morning. This absolute conviction, confidence in Krishna, which is based on realization, based on full realization of Krishna and full devotion to Krishna. So that's not exactly an anecdote, but it's something which I've been thinking about a lot. How Srila Prabhupada presented, beyond any material consideration, how he presented this very powerful movement, powerful in the sense that Krishna is everything, and that everything must be adjusted for the pleasure of Krishna. We take these things for granted, but it's very difficult to have the courage and the realization and the determination and the confidence and the strength of character in an atheistic world, in a materialistic world where people simply ridicule Krishna, avajananti mang mudha, to actually present the absolute truth in this bold, uncompromising way. And that's illustrated in Prabhupada's books and also in his practical activity. So that's not exactly an anecdote, but it's something which I often remember. So with your permission of Acharya Dave, of Acharya Pad, even I get them mixed up. So I've gotten the permission of Acharya Pad, so I'm going to go and rest a little bit, and then you can continue your Leela Smarana. Hare Om.
Acharya Dave ki. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutare Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirivisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Padaya Te Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishay Namo Namah Namo Brahmanaya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Chajigat Hitaya Krishna Govindaya Namo Namah Pancha kalapatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayeva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo bhaisnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukhakaroti Vashalang Pamulangaya taking at the Pratamahang Bande Sigurum Dinatadinam Srila Prabhupada ki. So, if everybody could sit in such a way that their back is not facing the Srila Prabhupada. Last year there were a lot more devotees who were here at the time of Prabhupada's arrival in Nupanihati than, although it seems there are a few here. So it's nice when Gokuranjana began it last year. I can tell you about when Srila Prabhupada came to Old Panihati or Adi Panihati in India. As you know, Panihati Dam is one of the five places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu permanently resides. Is the place where Lord Nityananda danced, where there's some more seats for the Swamis. And that's of course where the Chiradoi festival that we'll be observing today, this afternoon, that we are observing today, was held. And there are many other pastimes at Old Panihati. So one member of the legislative assembly, something like the state senate, or state senate would be here. A state senator came to see Prabhupada and told him that we want to give you the Panihati temple to develop Because we have faith in your movement and in your you personally. So Prabhupada was very he was very overjoyed. He said, this is a very important place. So we all got into a car, or a caravan of cars, and he said, well, let's bring along some picnic. So, because Panihati Dam is, of course, famous for picnic. This picnic of Lord Nityananda, when he had Raghunath Das provide a bon bojan, or a Chiradoi picnic for everyone under the banyan tree and on the Ganges side. So we all went there. Prabhupada saw the banyan tree where Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya sat under and accepted their prasad. It's still there. Saw the broken temple of Raghava Pandit, and it was so many banyan trees had grown into the, it was the same original temple, 500 years old, but some banyan seeds fell on the temple, so little banyan trees started to grow. And they had grown, the roots went right into the walls, and all the walls were just like, you couldn't, there was not wall or banyan tree, it was all one. It was all one. If you tried to cut the tree down, you'd knock the wall down. And if you, so it was, the house was, it was a hopeless case. So Prabhupada said, well, we should take a photograph of it and reconstruct it as it was and then put the picture of the original so that we can show the historical, it's the same place, the same form, but due to the ravages of nature, we had to rebuild it. And then we went down to the tree again where Lord Chaitanya sat, and he said, we want to build a big temple. Well, it was a big mystery because the area was only about 100 feet by 70 feet. And right on the bank of the Ganges, there was already a 30 foot by 40 foot kirtan hall. And then there was about 10 foot by 15 foot seat under the banyan tree where Lord Chaitanya sat. And the open area was only bits and pieces on the different sides. So the devotees wondering, how are we going to build a big temple here? The local MLA said, well, because he thought, well, we'll just fix up Raghava's house. The Prabhupada said, no, we'll have a big temple here. It'll be 150 feet by 70 feet, you know, by, well, 50 feet wide, and it'll be about 150 feet high. So everyone's trying to figure out, how is this going to happen? He said, well, do is, you just build the temple, the columns, up 16 feet, 18 feet, and whatever is there now on the ground floor, leave it. We'll begin from the second floor up. The people, they'll be able to just walk underneath the temple, go and see everything. We'll be above that. So that attracted everybody's fancy. And then all of a sudden, Prabhupada across the way from the tree where Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya sat under, there was another grihastha house, and in their house they had a temple of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, also of Balaram and Revati. And so that householder begged Srila Prabhupada, please come over. Turned out that he was a member of the Subarna Bonik family, where Prabhupada was is also in his previous caste. He was a member of that family. He come historically from that family. And they worshipped Srila Prabhupada. They gave him a very nice seat and darshana. After he took darshana of deities, the members of the household, they came and they started to fan Srila Prabhupada with their own hands, with little palm fans. And Prabhupada told us that we should do a little kirtan. It was very spontaneous, there was nothing planned, but then as he was leaving, this sadhu came and said, please come and see my temple. So suddenly Prabhupada, he agreed and he went, and it was a big Kali temple. It was a small temple, but a huge Kali deity. And Prabhupada offered his respects to Kali, so she's a devotee. And then that Brahmana gave a Shaligram Shila. And that was the first Shaligram Shila that was worshipped at Mayapur. The first Shaligram Shila in our movement. He had a Narayan there, and just spontaneously he gave. Those are some of the pastimes. Anyway, now that Gokula Ranjan, I can say more later. But he's here, so you could tell because you were here when Prabhupada came. So you could kind of talk about his arrival here to New Panihati. One thing that Prabhupada said, that we were driving along and the road was terrible from Calcutta to Panihati. I mean, the road is very big, but on both sides there's all kind of just shacks and little industrial units and factories. And then sometimes you'd see an ancient mansion and a big yard with all kind of orchard in the background. And Prabhupada looked and he said, this is hell. He says, before, outside of Calcutta, he said, these were all Baganbadis. Baganbadi means like country estates. They'd leave Calcutta, go out a little half hour ride by horse and buggy or by their, you know, Model T Ford or whatever. And these were all the mansions that all, and you could see there were mansions there. And he said, now, you know, with their so-called industrial revolution, they've spoiled everything, made it so dirty and so terrible. He said, they offer the people in the village who are the 600 rupees a month or $60 a month wage, which is, you know, so much, $2 a day, much more than their average 80 cents a day. So they all come running to and thinking that now we're going to get such a high wage. And then they come and live and work in some factory, but they don't, they have to live in one of these slums. The children grow up in a slum area because it's so hellish. The husband starts to drink where he wasn't drinking in the village. And then because of bad association, there's prostitution. And then they have money because they're drinking. Then they have nothing to do, so they gamble their money away. And this way, all of their good qualities go to hell. So he was lamenting that how, due to a type of unplanned, un-Krishna conscious industrial development without, you know, and false propagation. And he told us that he made one comment that we want to preserve that dignity of the farmers, preserve the dignity of agriculture, because in this way people can be independent. And they don't have to be dependent on this type of a false situation. They can actually, in that occupation, they could more easily practice God consciousness than being one of these factory workers. And I'll say more later now. Gokul Ranjan, that's some of the pastime. There are many more of Prabhupada going to old Panihati, or the original Panihati. Maybe we could hear something about his coming to new Panihati.
Nama Om Vishnumilaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutaya Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhinamene Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pachamine Nivisesha Srinivaya Paskutavya Siddhartha. So, just briefly to mention the history of the Atlanta Temple before Prabhupada came, so that the full impact of what it meant to Atlanta Temple at that time. We were a small temple and living on the other side of the track, so to speak, I guess, in a small little house. And for years and years trying to get a better situation for Lord Chaitanya's movement, Srila Prabhupada's society, struggling to find a better facility. and it just had this one little house, and then another little house later, but they weren't adequate by any means. And the temple had been on the over on 13th Street for maybe for about 4 or 5 years at that point. And there were so many attempts to get other buildings, other properties, and they all fell through in the end. And there was a lot of prejudice at that time also, in terms of they didn't want to rent to us because we were controversial. And being in the South, there's a lot of prejudice against anything that's not Christian, or specifically it's not Southern Christian. And so the temple started to expand, more devotees were coming. And so at that point, Balavanta Prabhu was the temple president, and he had made this friendship with an older man, and his name was Bhakti Fred, we call him, and he was able to convince the landlord of this property to finally allow us to stay here. Since then, we've developed a relationship with him. His name is Mr. Aldine. Rupanuga Prabhu calls him our guardian angel. Sort of an unusual character. But so we had just moved into this property, but it was in extremely bad condition, as Vedaguri and Sahasrangi Prabhus can testify. They were on the work crews to fix everything up. And the place was just, just like they were. I know for a fact that building and that building for some time had just been deserted. You know, just bums had been coming in and out. Even still, they didn't want to rent to us. So we finally were able to secure the place, and we were in the process of moving the deities. And you know what it's like to move a temple? It's a big, big endeavor. Moving, we only Gornatai had been installed for about a year, and we Jagannath had not come yet, and we put Gornatai in the back seat of a limousine and drove them through the city. Balavanta sort of took the best route, and was, as we were driving, he was telling them all about the city of Atlanta, that they were the predominating deities of. It was kind of unusual to see reactions to some of the people when we stopped at red lights, when they saw these two the deities sitting in the back seat with their crowns on. And so we finally we were in the process of moving in, and simultaneous to that also we discovered under our noses the Atlanta airport, and it was the best facility for book distribution, for streaming Srila Prabhupada's books, that had come along, you know, at that point. And it was just incredible, the amount of books that we were distributing. We thought it was just, the scores were just phenomenal. We thought it was unlimited how many books we could distribute. And then, just right after that, about a month or two after we'd been moved in, there was a rumor being passed around that Prabhupada might come here. But we just never really took it seriously, because when Prabhupada came to America, it meant we could maybe go see him in New York, or he would go to Los Angeles or Chicago, the bigger temples. Never to a place like Atlanta. Atlanta was such a small place. But now that we had this better facility, and Swarup Damodar was staying here then, and he had been writing to Prabhupada that this was a very nice place, nice climate. So the next thing we knew, we had like a 2-week warning, I believe it was, something like that. Prabhupada was coming, and we didn't have any place for him to stay or anything. We were just... So, we just went wild. The whole temple just went, you know, on a 24-hour a day, 2-week long marathon to fix everything up. And, and then throughout the whole 2-week period, there was like, no, he's not coming. This GBC is trying to get him over to that zone. No, and then he is coming, and then it was back and forth, and finally he was coming. And so we met him at the airport with all the devotees, and everyone was thinking, all the other devotees around the movement at that in North America were thinking that this would be the perfect place to come see Prabhupada, because it's a small temple, it'd be real intimate. So somehow or other, just everyone thought like that, and so it was, you know, it was incredible. It's like 300 or 400 devotees came, and there was Tamal Krishna bought the entire Radha Damodar party, all the brahmacharis, and for the first time he introduced them to Prabhupada, and Gurupad. Srila Gurupada brought his traveling library party, the BVT library party. Chabrari brought the BVT book distribution party. Dharmama had his women's party. They were just starting out at that time. And all these other temples, everybody was just coming. And so we had a huge kirtan out at the airport. That's the reason. They actually, after that, they passed the law about that, you know, that we couldn't have kirtans anymore at the airport, but somehow or other we were able to we took over the airport. Fortunately or unfortunately, at that time I was chosen to stay with the limousine. I wasn't in the airport, and my job was to somehow or other to secure the right in the middle of, you know, where they drop off the passengers, the taxi stand there. I had to secure that spot with limousine. And, you know, they're always asking to keep moving on. In the old airport, it was a smaller space, so it was you. I was taking up half of the space, practically. And all the police were gathering around trying to ask me to leave, and I just was, like, saying, well, it's just a few more minutes. It's a very important person coming here. And finally, like, somehow or other, it just kept dragging on and on and on. It was, like, a half hour already. There was a delay in the plane, and the police were just furious. So was an opportunity to preach. I had all the police standing around, and so I just they wanted to tow the car away. At one point in there, I lost the keys to the car too. I was so nervous. I couldn't find the keys to the car. I really went crazy. And I found them, and then I started preaching to the policeman. I said, well, just imagine if, you know, somehow or other Jesus Christ was coming. And it was your responsibility to make sure that his ride was there, you know. Would you listen to the police? You know, I just... And they thought, their reaction was the same. They started laughing, so they just, all right, we'll give you, you know. So I was able to keep the limousine there, and I was feeling real proud of myself, and so I made sure I was sitting right there behind the wheel, and I was like holding on to the wheel because I wanted to be the one to drive. I mean, I went through this whole thing to keep the limousine there. So I'm holding on, you know, and I think, and then all of a sudden I see, you know, the kirtan's coming, and then I hear the car door open on my side, and it was Balavanta, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, come, get out. So I was asked to leave, and then I figured this was like one experience I had where I had this realization of, like, I wanted Prabhupada to see me, and you know, I was really young, I guess, or immature, puffed up or whatever, but I wanted Prabhupada to see me, so I just stood there by the door, and I tried to open the door, and somehow or other Prabhupada's head was always in the other direction. So I specifically went around to one of the doors and to open the door. I figured he was coming in on that side. Instead, Tamal Krishna and Paramahansa Swami, they went in and sort of pushed me aside, and Prabhupada just always had his head looking the other way, and just got in the car like that and just waved to everyone. And I was completely dejected. I had a realization at that point that we have the right to be attached to our service, but not to the results of the service. Because I was attached to the idea that I had, you know, fought off the demons or the police for moving the vehicle, and wanted Prabhupada to recognize that, but in any case, I didn't get any external. Anyway, so Then, simultaneously, while all this was happening at the airport, the Vyasam was being built. The stairs were not built, and the back was being put on. I think, were you helping with this Vyasam at that point? Right, but they were building the Vyasam at the time that Prabhupada was at the airport. So no one knew whether or not he was going to be, whether or not it was going to hold him, or anything, you know. As he, you know, everyone, so he comes into the temple room, everyone's just like staring. See, everything's going to hold together, you know. And we were fortunate that they had built it properly. But first, when Balavanta brought Srila Prabhupada in a sort of a roundabout route to the temple, and all the devotees were out on the front lawn, who had been at the airport, and they had a big, huge kirtan. And Balavanta told me that Prabhupada, when he saw the devotees, he had been sort of resting in the back seat, and he looked forward, and he was looking out like that. And Balavanta was explaining, you know, that they were parked at that intersection down there. He was explaining that this is the women's house, that's the men's house, and in the middle is the temple. And he saw all the devotees. Prabhupada was really like, his eyes got real bright, and he was real he looked very happy. And by Krishna's mercy and someone come and help me just hold that. Baby Guria will also purchase frames of the pictures. And I have a picture of when he was just arriving. They're big enough so everyone can see. Yeah, here it is, just arriving. I think there's another one too. Yeah. He was first getting out of the car. So all the devotees were having a kirtan on the front lawn on the porch, and Prabhupada drove up. And this is a picture of him coming out of the limousine here.
Srila Prabhupada ki!
Navapani
hati agamana ki!
That's Sri Damodar there. And there's Prabhupada. Yeah, you got the drive. And coming out of the car, and some of the other devotees. I think this is Veda Guru here. And this devotee here was supposedly the secretary of Maharishi, yeah, he's the one who said that he had just come to tell Prabhupada the story that that Maharishi had told him to come to Prabhupada because Prabhupada is the one who could teach him the highest knowledge. And so then Prabhupada came in to the temple room, and it was Gaura Nitai were there on the altar, and all the devotees had a kirtan. He still had his jacket on. It was in the winter. And the deities were wearing they had red long coats, and the women had embroidered these beautiful peacocks onto the coats. I think that the deities in Mara Sevak are still wearing this outfit. Real nice, colorful blue and green peacocks on the coats. That was a real nice outfit. And Prabhupada he stood there and was having darshan, and they noticed at that point we had mirrors on the ceiling. We've taken them down after last winter. They were too much trouble. They were falling. But at that point we had just put them on. And so Prabhupada was looking up, and he turned to Balavanta and said, "What is this?" And he said to Prabhupada it was mirrors. And Prabhupada, because it looked like, if you looked at it, it looked like it was two altars, you know, and because they were real clear at that point. And so then Prabhupada marched back through the, we had an aisle here, as generally the devotees do, and we were chanting, and he sort of marched back very slowly and gracefully to the Vyasam, and sort of like a general reviewing his troops. And he had a big smile on his face. And you could notice that there were tears in the in his eyes here. And he was really, really had a really big, blissful smile. And then he got on the Vyasa sign and started to, the kirtan went on for a while and stopped, and then he started to speak. But as you could notice right from the very beginning, that there was a lot of emotion in his voice, you know. Almost like he was, you could hear, you know, he was almost like choked up. So he started to say, I've, you know, traveled to all these different temples. I had come from Caracas, Miami, he said, and so many temples I've traveled to. And I can see that of all these temples, your temple is the best. And then everyone started chanting Yang Jai. So then he started quoting from this song, Parama Karuna Pahudvijanam Nittai Gaura Chandra. And he said, so these two Prabhus, Nittai Gaura, who appeared 500 years ago in West Bengal, India, are now standing here on your altar in Atlanta today. And everyone, you know, started chanting Hari Bol.
Tanna Prabho Nityananda Sri Advaita Gauradhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukha karoti vachalang pangurangayate gringat kripa tamahang bande sri gurung dinatharinam. So, by the festival in Panihati is called Mahotsav. Maha means great, ut means to uplift, to go up, and sab means everyone. So that great festival which uplifts everyone, that's called a Mahotsav. So, especially the Vedas advise us that we should go to Janadagya, to the Janeshwar, Vigeshu. We should go to the persons, hear from the persons who have transcendental knowledge. We should take the association of the Vaishnavas. So we feel that, if for nothing else, the festival was successful because Srila Acharya Dev has so kindly come here to give us his association. And it's by the presence of many Vaishnavas that one gets more and more enthusiasm. The Sankirtan movement means that many people together perform the Sankirtan Jagga, or the congregational chanting of the holy names. This slideshow was put together by Trivikram Swami. I haven't gone through it yet, so. Is that in Bangladesh? Why don't you go to the next shot? Oh, this is go back a shot. Back. All right. So what happens is that in Bangladesh, what we're going to do is, because here we're having our Panihati festival, which is, of course, Panihati is on the bank of the Ganges. This is a tributary of the Ganges River. And Panihati festival is where many devotees with Lord Nityananda were chanting Hare Krishna, and all of a sudden, it wasn't expected, but Lord Chaitanya came. So like that, we're very honored that the servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Acharya Dev, he's agreed to come even though before we couldn't expect it. Today I heard yesterday I heard he was coming, today I heard he wasn't coming. I phoned him up and said, we already have our high hopes up, don't deprive us. Since you're all merciful, you should come on up. So he decided to come. So, since he's already explained so nicely from the Bhagavad Gita, the basis and purpose of this Krishna conscious movement for cutting the attachment to this material world and to going back to the spiritual world from whence we do not have to return ever. So, here is a tour of our Bangladesh preaching in East Bengal, which Lord Chaitanya toured and which many of his associates appeared. And we'll see what's in the slideshow. I don't even know myself, so it's a surprise. It's like candid camera for me. This is, I believe this is where our vehicle got stuck. And it required about 300 people to pull it out. And I had to direct it. That's why I had to pull my dhoti up. So, Hare Krishna. Here's the vehicle that's got stuck. This is the Mercedes bus that I travel about. That's Vyasaki Das, an assistant in Bangladesh who's now in North America. He's an old veteran there. You might have heard his kirtans. Vyasaki Das? Yeah. He went on the tour, so did a number of other. Here's where we're. This vehicle is pulling it out. It's towing it. Actually, this whole thing began because they didn't listen to me. I told them to go the other way. But you can see, spontaneously, this isn't for money, this was for love, you see. But we tied our van and all the people, and all together they yelled, "Hello!" And then they pulled it. Hindu, Muslim, you name it, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We got out, don't worry. So, these are the lady with the kind of saffronish sari in the middle. Is the secretary, and the one, the tall one, she's they're the secretary and president of the Bangladesh cottage industry program. The tall one recently got the president's award for doing the most help to the people. So I was telling her how she should also incorporate Krishna consciousness with her social upliftment. And the secretary agreed to chant Hare Krishna every day and signed a pledge to that effect. The back, you're seeing Prabhavishnu Swami, assistant GBC. That's his Sika there. Haribol. Here is where I probably signing their pledge. Krishna Cube. Yeah, what happened was this Vichitra Vasini, as Lotita Bhakti here? She didn't come. She was there also. There were three Mataji. This one Mataji is from England, and Vichitra Vasini from Hawaii, and one other. So we had a big program with 75,000 people. At the last part of the program, the Sankirtan leader raised his arms and he said, "The mercy of Nitai Gaur comes raining down like a flood of mercy," and it started pouring rain. And so we had to run inside this house to get away from the rain. So then we began to preach. Nowhere to go. So these people are all signing up to chant Hare Krishna every day. That's Subhag Swami Maharaj in the front. for selling books in Bangladesh, which is an 80% Muslim country. He had to spend 1 month in jail, but it didn't dampen his enthusiasm. He's still preaching there very actively. Go on. Jai Nitai Gaur. Haribol. This is the Arti. The secret president of the function gave me an introduction. I was the chief guest for the function, which was the national Sanatan Dharma Sammelan. The ambassador of India and the minister of Bangladesh were represented there. Now we have quite good relations with the government. It was due to a misunderstanding that was addressed. This is a typical house of Bengal. Grass roof, mud floor with cow dung coating. And these are the residents, mother and daughter. Here are some of the devotees distributing books and beads. People are very eager. You can see the habitat. It's beautiful. They're under a mango tree. Behind, they're all bamboo forest. It's by the side of a river. This was during the daytime where they had various lectures. In the nighttime, we did our program. This one student getting Srila Prabhupada's books. This is a common sight. People staring. But they're interested, and it's nothing to be afraid about. As soon as you start to preach to them, well, they're all ears. But they don't know what to think because there's no road. This bus is inside the middle of the village and there was no road. We drove over 3 miles of fields. So you'd be amazed too. Anyway, we bathe in the river. That's all there is. Hare Krishna. No piranhas. This is a meeting with all the village elders. They all came around and they've decided, they set up about 13 Namhat branches for propagating the message of Srila Prabhupada. It's again Subhag Swami. Here we were discussing. They're offering us 40 acres of land to build a Gurukul. They say that the children in this area need a Gurukul and they'd like us to establish a Gurukul there. On the left is Dr. Bose or something. He was the head of the district Sanatan Dharma Conference. We are under the date trees and coconut trees. So the purpose of these tours is actually to encourage people to take up the process of Krishna consciousness and to take up the philosophy in a practical way. So the response is incredible. This is outside of the main meeting area. There are, of course, many vendors selling peanuts and you name it. This is one of the bridges. It's just two bamboos. How many thousands of people crossed over to hear the Krishna conscious presentation? The people there, they make an average wage of maybe a dollar or 50 cents a day. But still, even though they're so poor, they want to get books and beads. They want their spiritual development. So people say that, well, if the people aren't fed, if they're still hungry, then they don't want spiritual things. But actually, it's the rich people that say that, that the people who are very puffed and very inflated, that it's not necessary that one has to first have economic development. Who's going to provide economic development? There's nearly 100 million people of Bangladesh. America puts millions of dollars there. You don't see any change in terms of economic. What's the economic? They have a beautiful surrounding. They have their grass hut. Economic development means they'll put a road in and put a pump in, or they'll give them a brick house. How is that going to appreciably, or they'll maybe get some more vitamins in their meal. But they're still suffering birth, age, old age, disease, death. So they know that this life, you know, we don't discourage them to try to develop economically, but the point is that in this life, there's only one end. And the real purpose of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. So along with their endeavors, they actually want to achieve spiritual realization. This is Lotika Bhakti, who's now in New Orleans. She's from Sweden. She was preaching there. Here are some of the children who want to join the Gurukul. We actually made 9 devotees at this program. Haribo. Haribo! This is what Acharya Dev was talking about, supernatural powers. let's see, Sanatan Dharma Mahasamelan. This was another, for some reason they never showed the crowd, but we did a series of tours for 1 week, and here was another program that we arrived just at sunset, and all the people came to greet us. Here is a typical crowd. More than the flash can pick up. Just thousands and thousands of people. But this wasn't the biggest crowd. There must be about 10,000 people here. Men on the left, women on the right. This was that we started a new program, which was a competition to get everyone to chant. To get the women to chant, we employed the mothers, and then to get the men to chant, then the men would encourage them. What happened was we had a program at one place, and then we were going to we went to see the birthplace of Raghunath Das Goswami. Not Raghunath Das, was one of the Goswamis, Lokanath Goswami. And we couldn't get there because we went in our bus, and it was a bamboo bridge, and we just weren't going to take that 10-12 ton truck across the bamboo bridge. So there's one sadhu was there, and he said, please come and see our temple. And so we went just for 15-20 minutes and gave a short talk, and all these people spontaneously were receiving us. It was very... We had to walk a couple of miles to get in there, but maybe half a mile, it wasn't so much. These are different... this is another program in Dhaka. They said Trivikram Maharaj, he did a good job, but he didn't, you know the different places. We had so many different programs. Basic program was there would be some introductory lectures, arti, then some more some chanting competitions, sometimes a few more lectures by the different devotees, and then I would give a Bhagavatam class. Then we'd show movies. Hare Krishna. So, it's another typical scenery of Bangladesh. I mean, it's incredibly opulent. These are all banana trees and coconut. So many, in every village, all the houses are built around these man-made lakes called pukurs. Here is the birthplace of Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta was, of course, a dearmost devotee to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the left is Nastula Das, Canadian devotee or Irish devotee, I forget, who's living in Bangladesh near Pundarik Dam. This site was donated to us for developing a temple there. So we did some excavation, actually, to find the original foundation of the temple. You see, near Pundarik Vidyanidhi was the guru of Gadadhar, and he lived in Chattogram, which is on the far east of Bangladesh, eastern Bengal. And just about half mile from his house, Vasudev Datta and Makunda Datta, their houses were there. So, Hare Krishna. We were inspecting. In the back, just, I don't know if you can see, we started an excavation on the side. How this project could be developed. These deities are backwards, maybe you could turn it around. Jai Barshabhanabi Murari Gaura Haribo. Because Pundarik Vidyanidhi, these deities are Pundarik Dham, the birthplace of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Because Pundarik was Barshabhanu, the father of Radha in Krishna Leela, so we call the deities Barshabhanavi, meaning Radha, the daughter of Barshabhanu, Murari. And of course, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Murari is enchanting. So there, it's also backwards, but anyway. This is, now we're in Pundarik Dam for our annual festival. The annual festival is on, this year fell on February 7th. After leaving Atlanta, I went back for the Rath Yatra in Madras, and then I went here. There was about 40,000-50,000 people came over a 4-day festival. We were feeding. Here's the Dharma Sabha, or the religious conference, spiritual conference, where we gave lectures. And this picture is taken from within the place where non-stop 48-hour Harinam chanting of Hare Krishna will go on. This is the veranda of our temple of Pundarik Dham. You can see the rice paddy fields and the scenery in the back. The little village children chanting. This one's really fired up in the front there. We've got the kartals. He's about 4 years old. He's leading the kirtan. You can. This is actually taken after the festival, but which there, you can see the. There's some steel steel rods sticking up. We're building a kirtan hall there. We got up that far before we ran out of money. In the back, there's a lake, man-made lake, right by this temple. It's very beautiful. Anyway, go on with this. Yes? Huh?
Yes, son, this is a Prabhupada.
Yes. Told him to make a bigger one. This was on Ram Nomi. We did a bathing ceremony for the small deities of Barshavanini Maradi. Abhishek with milk and yogurt, ghee, honey, sugar water, dab juice, and so many other things. Jai! Prabhavishnu Swami. This is the first... This is the first major temple to be... Here's that initiation ceremony there. First major temple to be constructed since Bangladesh became Bangladesh. Samaul it back, turn it back. There was some... What happened? Back. We're going forward. Okay, stop there. This, you see, Mrs. Mandanaya. Can you see that? See the lady there next, on the left, Bengali lady wearing tilak with her sindur? You were saying that they don't wear a tilak, only the widow? She's a married lady. You see it? You don't see it. Do you have a pointer? Hare Krishna. Actually, they took a video of this. We should get the copies. Yeah. People are very... this is their biggest enjoyment, is these festivals. This is more interesting to them than everything else. But it takes an incredible amount of endeavor to put on these festivals, but the reward is unlimited. Here's some devotees taking initiation. Here's some of the local organizers. This is where we fed over 20,000 people prasadam. We've formed a joint committee there where we work with the local leaders of this place. Although the worship and the management is officially in our hands, but we work cooperatively with the local dignitaries. Here's the temple that was constructed. So we had to 20,000 plates of... People always ask, where does that food relief money go? That's where it goes, but it's only a drop in the bucket compared to what's actually needed. Goes, I mean, in the distributing of prasanna. Here's the spiritual conference. There are so many people listening. They listen from 4 or 3 in the afternoon until 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, about 7 hours straight, different philosophical lectures. I was presiding, but we had different lectures speaking. The limitation of these flashes. Okay, that was the end of the Bangladesh tour. Here is the Calcutta Book Fair. This is the largest book fair in Asia. And we had the award-winning booth for having the most titles in the most different languages. And we actually sold books in Russian, Czechoslovakian, Hebrew, Arabic, all different languages. We actually were selling the books over the counter. People were coming there. Yes. Here's a few other shots of that's Pralada Swami. Now he's my regional secretary in Peru and Ecuador. This is Bhakti Chirusna. We just went to see a few other stalls to see how they were doing, but of course they just had Bengali language. This is Advidaran Prabhu, the president of Calcutta. So see in the back there, Chinese, Arabic, Persian. But normally you just show these, but people were actually coming and buying. We had Chinese people buying Arabic. It was, you know, every day we got to report how many books, and especially many Russian tourists bought books. They look around to see if the KGB was watching and they buy a book. Here's Bhaktipad's Palace of Gold, Prabhupada's Palace of Gold. We had a whole display. Prabhupada, I don't know if the picture comes up, but when you walk in, there was the center figure was the big deity of Srila Prabhupada. BBT books, flood the world with spiritual knowledge. Every second a Bhagavad Gita as it is distributed. Well, then we went over to see the Soviet book stall. They have these really big books, but they're completely subsidized. You can buy it for 20 cents for a, you know, a huge big book. But our stall was packed with people. The devotees, they couldn't keep up with the demand. Srila Prabhupada ki. This is Srila Prabhupada in the Calcutta temple. This is bathing in the Calcutta Ganges. Hare Krishna. What are these shots? So unfortunately I don't have any shots of the Panihati festival because every last year I was here for this Panihati festival. So, but you get a taste of what it's like. There are about 200,000 people go to the Panihati festival. Jai Nithai Go Jagannath Subhadabharam Ki. And they all line up, but instead of distributing the khichdi, rice dal mixture, we distribute the chira and dahi. So tomorrow we have a big program. So I want everyone can freshen up and take rest. It's very nice how many devotees have come. I wanted to be. I don't know if it's going to be possible now. Because some other commitments. Are there any questions? If one can't says by bathing, even by repeated bathing in the Ganges, it takes repeated bathing before one gets purified. But by even a moment of association with a devotee of the Lord, sadhu sango, sadhu sango, sarva shastra koi lova matra sadhu sango sarva siddhi hoy. One can achieve all perfection in life. So this is especially an opportunity where we can associate by hearing and personally at the festival. And in this way, understand what is the inner purpose of Lord Nityananda giving the mercy to Raghunath Das Goswami. What was the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's touring all over the world? Tomorrow morning we'll have some Smarana Shabha, or remembrances of Srila Prabhupada here in Nupanihati and elsewhere. And then at noon or 1 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, noon there'll be the offering of Chira and Dai, and then there'll be different programs which Balabhadra Prabhu can announce in the morning. So were there any questions? Yes? It's registered. Our society is registered. Not yet. Thank Krishna. Well, in the winter, when it, because there's so many rivers that it's just a big, it's very difficult to travel in the rainy season. The government is, we just don't talk about those things. But the government is somewhat favorable now, but we just don't discuss those things. Yes? They're 6 months of age, 5 or 6. Have to offer sweet rice at noon, along with the chira and dahi. May have time. Maybe we can do two at once. Then I can just say the mantras once. Hare Krishna.